B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your rating.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
According to my sources right now, there are two names that have really emerged. And one of them we don't know if the Celtics can get, which is Chauncey Billups. He's also in the equation in Portland, maybe in the equation as well in New Orleans. The other name that's hot right now is Ime Udoka, the Nets assistant coach. He's been in San Antonio. He's a guy who coached Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart a few years ago in 2019 in the World Championships. Those guys have kind of not gotten to bat for him, but certainly spoken highly of Udoka. He's interviewed multiple times with the Celtics. I talked to somebody who's been with him for an extended period of time earlier today. They described him, guys, as a guy with an edge, not a hard ass, but a guy with an edge, defensive minded, tough, adaptable, young, can really connect with the players. Obviously, he's not a big name, but I don't think Brad Stevens feels like he's got to go into this and get a big name.
Again, momentum was building for Udoka for days. That was Jeff Goodman on NBC Sports Boston 2 nights ago. And so this reportedly is the new Celtics head coach, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. You know what? Another thing I love about the guy? He's not a former Celtic. I don't got it.
Right, yeah.
I don't got to hear about this nonsense about he's coming home, he's a former Celtic, he's a Celtic.
He knows the history. He knows about Celtic pride and what it means.
Blow it out your ass. Your players don't care about that.
It's a good point.
They don't need more Celtic pride. They don't have any.
They need fresh blood is what they need.
Thank you. A fresh blood, a new voice, a fresh set of eyes, someone they trust or can relate to or are motivated by or whatever. Whatever they weren't under Brad Stevens is what they need. They don't need a former Celtic because we're keeping it in the family. Like, thank God, I don't have to hear that. So that's a pleasant sort of surprise. I get, you know, things to like or not like. Should I like or not like that they have a first-year coach and a first-year GM?
I would say generally you should not like
it. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I mean, like it.
Now, so Stevens is a bit
correct.
Of a, you know, Stevens is sort of in between, though, in some ways, because he's been here, right? So there's a little bit of a gray area there with him, but I don't, you know.
There's going to be growing pains with both, right? That's the way I look at it.
Here's what I do feel, that they're trying to change sort of the whole culture and chemistry in their locker room. So you're bringing Horford back, you're bringing Udoka in. Like, when I say bringing Horford back, I think Horford is serious. I think he's a serious player.
He's a pro.
Right? And so, you know, it felt like they were screwing off this past year. And so they weren't serious about it. The COVID protocols they violated, according to Chris Mannix, they were as loose with COVID as any team in the league. They lost a lot of man games to it. They didn't play defense. And so clearly they said, we're going to bring in a new leader and we're going to bring another guy who's going to bring some credibility in the room. And there's probably more coming. I can't imagine they're keeping the roster as is. If Tristan Thompson is still here when the year starts, I'll be surprised.
Okay. What does this guy need to do? What does this guy need to do? I'll give you one. Like, he's got to, on the floor, one of the things he has to do is connect Brown and Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, do those guys play together? And I'm not even talking off the floor. More Jeff Goodman. He did an interview across the street yesterday where he said something interesting about Tatum and Brown not being friends or not being close, which is okay. Like, they don't have to be. But they're not particularly close off the floor. But the more important thing being on the floor. And you think about it. Do those two play off of each other?
No.
Do they play together? Are they connected in any way, shape, or form?
No.
It's like, so the coach has got to do that. I mean, if it means they got to come together off the floor too, I don't know, maybe that helps because the NBA has become such a buddy-buddy sort of system, hasn't it been? Like, just friends getting together and joining each other on teams and conspiring to join these teams. And it's like, I don't know, it feels like being buddies off the floor is more important than ever for on the floor. But what, be that as it may, even if you don't do the off the floor thing, like, can we see those guys play together?
Yeah, they get a mesh.
Maximize the talent that you have here because those two are infinitely talented, and Tatum might be one of the top 10, top 15 players in the league.
I mean, so to me, it's pretty clear how it's going to have to work. Brown's got to play off of Tatum and not the other way around. And so because Tatum's a better player, I think Tatum's got the better sort of basketball instincts. Brown has developed nicely as a player, but he's going to be have to be more of a spot up guy. And then, you know, when he when Tatum's on the bench, if Brown wants to be the centerpiece and drive to the basket a little bit more, what have you, then fine, he can be that. But I think we touched on this yesterday. Their games are not super compatible because, you know, Brown is wants to be too much like Tatum.
Neither are great assist guys.
No, Tatum's better than Brown, though.
Okay, I mean, but they're just not.
Yeah, you're right.
They aren't guys that look to get their teammates going, get their teammates involved, swing them, especially Brown. It's more sticky with him. You're right. But, like, I think both are the same kind of profile. So they got to figure that out. I mean, obviously the big picture thing is, get those guys to get it. Now we're back to the intangible thing of, you know, what's really important, what you're really going to be remembered by, what's really going to make you great. It's not all NBA. It's not all stars. It's not max contracts. It's championships. And so, like, that's certainly the, like, that's it. But, like, on the floor, there's a component there, too. You got two great players, and they don't really, they're sort of their own entity when you think about it.
Yeah, they don't, their games don't mesh. And so, like, you know, if you say two guys don't, you know, they're not best friends off the floor. Bird and McHale weren't best friends. In fact, they almost never spent time together.
No, I know that. Don't you think the NBA's gotten a little different?
Yeah, but
it's
still.
It's so buddy-buddy now. It's so, like, clicky. Oh, the league's gotten so clicky. So, but look.
Okay, but did Jordan and Pippen get along? I know that wasn't that.
30 years ago, pal.
Okay, but again, I don't think, I think the bigger thing is you got to play together.
So I know that. I'm telling you, and I agree that, and I'm not telling you they have to be friends, but you have to admit, the league has gotten different. I mean, the share agents, you know, you party with the same people, like I don't know. It just feels like the league's become that, and I don't know. I mean, so I just wonder if it's a component. So, but the new coach has to bring that all together.
Yes.
You know, on the floor, off the floor, they got to grow up. You know, is this a guy that can help him grow up, help him get it, that sort of thing?
I hope so.
You know, and I am curious X and O a little bit. You know, I think Stevens featured this thing. It was a, sort of an idealistic, sort of collegiate sort of approach where the open guy gets the shot and you work for the best shot, not necessarily the ball in the hands of the best player. And I know that, you know, he would get it to Tatum when it was his turn, and then always apply that way. But, you know, he was more than fine with Marcus Smart taking the shot because it was open, or Daniel Tice taking the shot because it was open, and everyone's a shareholder, and it was that sort of thing. And ball movement and positionless basketball and all of that. We know how Stevens wanted to play it. How does this guy want to play it? I mean, isn't it kind of the same? Isn't Popovich wanted to do kind of the same thing?
Yeah, yes and no, though.
Move the ball, move the ball, move the ball.
Don't you think when Popovich had Tim Duncan, he ran it through Tim Duncan? I mean, that's how I, you know. So now Duncan was a good team player, so it probably came off his coaching, or he recognized, you know, that Duncan was willing to buy in. But to me, if this guy's smart, he empowers Tatum. We're going to run it through Tatum.
Can I just see a little more effort? That's all I want to see. Because this thing got real ugly this year with, you know, how many times we say, oh, worst loss of the season, whether it was a couple to Detroit, one to the Hornets, the one they blew to New Orleans and ended up losing in overtime, that one to the Oklahoma City Thunder who had lost 14 straight. Like, it got real gross this year. Stop that. That's one of the first things I can ask of this guy.
I can guarantee you you'll get better effort at the beginning.
I mean,
well, that's a given.
To me, right. This is like, that's almost got to be the easiest thing.
Exactly.
It's got to be automatic. Like, of course.
Yeah, Brad's not here. You could put a roll of paper towels there. You get more effort out of these guys that first month.
But it's a new boss, and you want to impress the new guy, and it's like a new set of a fresh voice. It's like that switch has to be automatic. Like, that's got to be a given. And, I mean, you would expect it to be so. Are they going to still do that when the going gets tough? Do they have a bad week or two? Are they going to be able to rebound? Are they going to have any resilience? Are they going to have any sort of DNA, any sort of character? What's going to be the identity of the team? The team had no identity last year. None.
No balls.
I mean, no balls, no identity. And that will develop over time. The effort, oh my God, if the effort's not there, then look out. It's worse than we even thought.
Then I'll tell you another one that I want to see out of this guy. When you say integrating Brown and Tatum, that which is huge. Can we get Marcus Smart in his proper role? Can we get someone who looks at Marcus Smart and says, do you understand who you are? Do you understand who you are and what the job is? Because that kid over there, he's the best player on the team. And the other guy, he's better than you. So if you want to win, this is how it's going to have to be. And if you don't think you can do it, tell us now so we can trade you. Like, that's how I would address it with Smart right now. In fact, it might be one of the first things I do, because Tatum and Brown are going to be here. So Udoka can worry about sort of getting them to play together over time. That's not going to happen overnight.
Okay.
But the smart part, after he gets hired, the first call I'd make is to Marcus Smart and say, how do you want this to work? Tell me.
Put that on the list. Big time. Absolutely. Getting him to understand who he is and his role. Big one. What's on your list out there? The Celtics have a new coach, reportedly. Your thoughts on it right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mash.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Ime Udoka is your new Celtics coach, reportedly. We're getting your reaction to it. Chris in Worcester. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. A quick comment. I'm glad they didn't hire retread Van Gundy or D'Antoni. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Some fresh blood with Coach Udoka. My question is about assistant. I hope he's allowed to pick his assistants and not, you know, leftovers from Coach. I'm sorry, what's his name?
From Stevens. Yeah. I mean, does this matter to you, Miss?
He should have some of his own assistants on his staff.
Of course.
Yeah. You want to tell me you want to keep a strategic guy here and there because he's integral in terms of the relationships on the team. Like you mentioned, Larrañaga's close to Tatum. Then keep him, right? You keep some of those guys, but you pick which ones. You got to be very strategic about it. He's the coach. He gets his staff.
He gets his
Don't start playing that stupid game, because that's a recipe for distrust, because all those guys work for Stevens or the ones that are still here. So what are you going to do? Give the GM stool pigeons down there?
So just
you
quickly,
can't do it that way.
A little bit more about this signing from Mark Murphy of the Boston Herald, of course, covering the Celtics, tweeting minutes ago. Per league source, the Tatum, Brown, Smart axis was consulted. The Celtics wouldn't do anything unless key players were on board with it. Tatum, yep, of course. Brown, uh-huh, yep, building block. Marcus Smart.
Still.
Whoa, guys, stop it with this guy. Stop it. Role player at best. I mean, why do you do this?
Jared Weiss said that the other day, too, that Marcus Smart, as far as he knows, is involved in the coaching hire. So, and again, the spin started. Keith Smith, who covers the NBA, we've thrown up this tweet here on the simulcast. Per source, Boston Celtics All-Stars Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, as well as longest-tenured Celtic Marcus Smart, gave Brad Stevens their stamp of approval on the Ime Udoka hire. Source said, quote, Udoka is the guy their main guys wanted, and Stevens got him before anyone else could. You already hear the narrative?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
They went out and got their guy.
Yeah, he beat him to the punch.
Maz's sources, who also told you Udoka yesterday was the leading guy, said they made a pass at another coach early on in the process and were turned down. That they already offered the job to someone, and that guy said no. So this narrative that's going to take hold about they got the number one candidate on the board and they beat everyone else to the punch, take it with a grain of salt. I mean, at least I would, because you heard Goodman say as well that they like Chauncey Billups, but they may not be able to get him, which is saying that Chauncey Billups chose another team over you. And maybe you've announced it first, but maybe you didn't get the first choice. Kevin in Plymouth. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, on the Marcus Smart thing, I think that Udoka coming in pretty much locked him back up on the Celtics for a year. I think that was part of why he was pushing so hard for Udoka. He knew that he was going to be able to stick around to play for a coach that he already played with. I just want to know what your guys' thoughts are on that.
So is the, you know, right, is that, is the writing on the wall? If Smart's going to be involved in hiring the next coach, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. So here's my hope that Udoka can get through to him. That, you know, I don't know what the...
Stop shooting?
Yeah.
Good luck.
It's kind of that simple, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you know what? Cool your heels sometimes.
Yes. Yes, that Udoka's one of these guys who could say to Smart, dude, listen, those guys are better scorers than you. You'll get your shots when they're there. But, at the, you know, your job is to play defense and facilitate. That's your job. When the wide open shot is there, you take it. Otherwise, no. I feel like Stevens let Smart get out of control on that. Now, and maybe Stevens didn't let him. Maybe that's just Smart. In which case, Udoka's going to have to rein him in. Like, if this comes with the credibility of the coach and the guy they wanted, then maybe Smart will listen to this guy.
We've got Ben in New Hampshire on this. Hi, Ben.
You know, the Celtics made a huge mistake hiring this guy. Like, he wasn't that good. He doesn't seem like he yells and gets in people's faces. He needs to yell and get in Tatum, Brown, and Smart's face, or Smart's just going to keep shooting, and it's all for nothing. They probably approved him, and they're probably like, yeah, whatever, because they don't care. They're not interested in being here. Tatum's going to L.A., Brown's going to the Heat.
Well, that's even for this program, particularly negative there.
And how about this, Ben from New Hampshire? If you think he's not going to be fiery enough for you, Jay King just tweeted this. Ime Udoka once won a sportsmanship award as a player. Yeah. He has said he was shocked to receive it because of how he often got into it with players on the court. A fiery competitor, but also places a high value on relationships.
Okay, well, that's all right. I mean, if there's a balance there, that's fine. The relationship's a part of the job.
There has to be a balance.
Yes, but so again, a lot of people misunderstand this, too. Like, you know, you say you emphasize the relationship. That means being able to say to someone the truth. To be able to say, what the hell are you doing? Are we in this together or not? And so
firm but fair.
Right, right. And so hopefully this guy will get through. Again, there are certain, you know, there are certain aspects of the profile that I like. The one thing I do worry about is how much credibility he really has in the league, among the players now. I'm not talking about his coaching peers. But if you tell me that Tatum and Brown and Smart all played for this guy and they really liked him, you know, they respected him, more importantly, and he can get through to him, then I think he was a good hire. If he can't get through to him, he's going to be toast.
Andrew and Waltham, go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I mean, hard not to be excited about the Celtics getting a new coach. You see all this talent they've had for the last 3 or 4 years, and they can't get out of their own way. I think you have a chance to change the narrative a little bit about the Celtics and Boston sports. Maybe end up looking like the Suns in their scenario, you know. So who knows? Go Celtics.
Okay, go Celtics. Absolutely. Couldn't put it better myself. The African-American thing is important.
Sure.
It is. Again, when Jaylen Brown tweets that out of nowhere the other day, analytics, 7 NBA teams are remaining, 4 are led by African-American head coaches. It's like, lunching, he's making his intentions, his desires pretty much well known. So I think the Celtics were, you know, that was kind of a must, I think, for this next guy. And I don't think it's a bad thing. You got to do what's best for your players.
I mean, I think it's a good thing. Again, coaching to me is about getting the right guy at the right time. It's about the fit. Because really, you can look at a million guys and say they're good coaches. But what does your team need at that instant? So worry about the next 2 or 3 years. That's it. Don't think of it as a 10-year thing, because in 3 years, it's going to change.
Dan in the car, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, talking about Tatum and Brown being friends, first of all, I do think they are friends. I don't think they're Gronk and Brady, but I think they get along. But I think you're wrong about thinking that they don't have to get along in order for the Celtics to win a championship. I mean, if you look at the last 3 or 4 teams that have won championships that have a 1-2 punch, you look at Davis and LeBron, you look at Clay and Steph, you look in Miami with LeBron and D-Wade, you look at even Dallas with Jason Kidd and Dirk, obviously not the same, but they're all best friends. Like, they all hang out and have that chemistry, and you need to bring that into the locker room. Same with LeBron and Kyrie in Cleveland. Yeah, it didn't end great, but they still got along when they were on the court and in the locker room together, for the most part, enough to win the championship. So I don't think that you saying Tatum and Brown don't need to get along, that's not going to work for them.
Well, that's Maz's thought. I think the league has changed, and the buddy-buddy thing has taken hold. And I'm not telling you it's a prerequisite. Like,
no,
that's dumb. I'd like to say it's some sort of absolute. If they're not best buddies off the floor, they can't win on it. I mean, of course, there's no, so like, let's not get stupid about the thing. But the days of saying, well, Bird and McHale didn't like each other, so that's a lifetime ago. The league has really changed.
Yeah. Were LeBron and Kyrie really that close?
Maybe at the time.
Yeah, I don't think they are. I mean, I'm just going.
Not at the end.
Okay, but again, Maz, that was how long ago now? I mean, like, I guess it's even changed in the last 5 years.
So maybe. But again, look, my point is they don't have to, like, celebrate holidays together. Okay, as long as they can coexist, that's all that really matters. So I'm not telling you that they can hate each other and it can work, because I don't believe that. But I do believe there has to be sort of, you know, I think as long as they have the same goal on the floor, it'll be fine.
Yes, and that's why McHale and Bird worked, because they were both hyper-competitive and wanted to win. Can I say that about Tatum or Brown? No, I can't. Let me answer my own question. I can't. I think Brown might have some of those qualities. I think Tatum is severely lacking in those qualities. So I think Tatum and Brown are two of many young players across the league who don't quite have the right priorities, that the winning and the competitive gene is not, you know, the first thing on their list.
So I worry about that with these two as well. But Bird thought Mikhail wasn't serious enough. He thought Mikhail was kind of just, you know, floating around. Like, you know, there's always that famous, you know, when Mikhail got the 56, Bird said he should have gone for 60, could have had 60. You know, I can get 56. 60 would have been tough. And then Bird a little bit later got 60. So, like, you know, there was always that, you know, Bird always looked at Mikhail and said, he's a little too passive for my liking.
I just think the league's so different than
it is. It is. That's a fair point. It's totally different. I'm just, I don't think they need to celebrate holidays together.
All right, we continue with your thoughts on Amit. Yeah, and again, but at some point, I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce it.
Yeah, this one's going to be a bugaboo for you, huh? Oh,
Ime? No. I'm trying to spit out the name. Ime?
Ime.
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 E. I'm going to write it out.
Ime.
Yeah.
Hyphen M-A-Y. Ime.
There you go.
Ime Udoka.
Yeah, Udoka's actually pretty easy.
Yeah, that one, I'm almost there on that one. Ime Udoka is your new Celtics coach. Your thoughts, more of your calls and NBA thoughts right after Big Jim Murray gives you more info on today's breaking news.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll get back to your calls here in a minute. First of all, a couple thoughts on that Phoenix Suns game last night, how that ended, the whole thing. What are your thoughts there, Mass?
So, to me, you know, there's a replay story to be told here, too. But the big one that stuck out to me, is there a more overrated guy in the NBA than Paul George? Is there a more overrated player than Paul George? I am so effing sick and tired of hearing about Paul George when we get into the discussion of, like, you know, guys in the top 20 players in the league or someone who's part of a big twosome, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. He's on the line at the end of that game with a chance to increase the lead from 2-4, two free throws, career 80-plus percent free throw shooter. He misses both.
Wasn't it go to 1-3? And that's how they won on the Ayton dunk?
I thought it was 2-4. Maybe you're right.
I'll check. Keep going.
Okay, so what a gag. What a freaking gag. How else do you explain it? The guy is, again, a terrific shooter, has been his whole career. I'm not telling you he's Steph Curry or that he's Klay Thompson or Durant, but he's 80-plus percent at the line. And he goes to the line in a critical part of the game while Kawhi Leonard is out, so he's the guy now. He's the guy around whom the whole thing is built. And he gags. And I, honestly, I thought they were bad misses. The second one back rimmed it. It popped all the way back out to the free throw line. It was a brick. And I think they were both kind of heavy. He was feeling it, man. I think he gagged like you read about.
So, yeah, they were up 103-102 with 8 seconds left, and he missed two free throws. It would have taken the lead from 1-3.
Okay, I thought it was, yes, okay. Then so worse.
Worse, absolutely. I guess it's kind of the same, but either way, the whole reason the Suns were in a position to tap in a dunk with 0.9 seconds left is because it was a one, but, you know, if they needed a three, it changes the whole calculus on the whole thing. And Paul George made it so. Or at least if you make 1-2, it's overtime and it's not
loss. Him missing the two free throws, I think, is the story. And how long the whole effing thing took at the end. But if he makes 1-2, like you say, he goes to overtime. He makes 2-2, the Clippers win. It's that simple. He choked when they needed him the most.
And I think they choked defensively. You know, you can't allow...
An alley-oop.
I mean, as nice of a play as they ran, and Booker deserves a lot of credit for setting that screen against a big guy and taking the pounding there. And Jay Crowder, a really nice pass. And like it was just sort of executed perfectly. So, I mean, that's nice. But if you just play prevent defense, I mean, just play that the way you're supposed to play that, you don't give that up. Maybe you give up a Booker jump shot. Like, you can't defend everything, but you should be able to defend. I mean, my Lord, I see this all the time with the Bucks when they're in that kind of situation. It's a back screen to Giannis at the rim. It's like, just get your big guy back there, and it's kind of over. Like, or go back and watch the inbound, too. It was DeMarcus Cousins on the inbound.
Mm-hmm.
He was sort of square to Jay Crowder instead of sort of
angled from the rim.
Angled from the rim, right? Keeping the basket between you and the ball, like the 101, right? He was sort of square to him. So it's like Jay Crowder had a clean look at that pass because Cousins had the wrong angle on him on the baseline.
Yeah, it was like he was defending a pass out to the wing instead of a pass underneath the hoop with 0.8 seconds to go. They botched it all the way around. They completely botched it. So there were a million things that went wrong for them at the end of that game. But again, you've got your best player at the line with 8 seconds to go, two free throws to basically put you in a no-lose situation. And he misses both. And he's an 87% free throw shooter.
What a gag.
How else do you explain that other than to say he choked? He completely freaking choked. Those guys shooting free throws are 87% in games. You know what they are in practice? 99. They never miss those. They are guys like George. He's automatic. He missed them both. What a joke. A massive joke.
That said, I don't necessarily think this is over. It wasn't Utah 2-0 on this team, too?
Yes, and I think the Clips have been down 0-2 every series they played so far.
I think that's right.
I think they were down 0-2 both of their first two series.
Now, this might put more pressure on Kawhi to try to take a horse tranquilizer and get out there and play maybe in these next couple of games, but I still think that this isn't going to be like a sweep or Suns in 5 or anything like that.
You know what's pathetic, too, is that the Clippers put in a 7-footer on that play. Zubac, except he can't get off the ground. It was like having Andy Zizic in there or someone instead. So Ayton just jumped right up because this guy literally, watch the replay. He can't get off the ground. It's like his feet were stapled to the floor.
All right. Meanwhile, Murray just mentioned it. The last 2 minutes of that ball game took 33 minutes on the real clock. 33 minutes between the replays and the timeouts and the resetting of the clock and the ball and all of this. 33 minutes to play the last two. Your thoughts on that?
Murray, you go first.
I mean, could there be any? I mean,
what's this? It's just interminable.
What's to say? Like, that says
stop
it all.
Looking at every little thing and so all bad. The minutiae. You don't have to go to the table, these refs, and look at every single thing and replay it. It's brutal. It kills the viewing experience because that was a pretty compelling product. But 33 minutes for that, like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but this is the slippery slope of replay.
Right.
It's where it's all headed in every sport. It gets worse by the year. It doesn't get better. Replay doesn't work. It doesn't work. Period. And that's not to say that they don't get the right call more often. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about enhancing the viewing experience and enhancing the product, making it a better or worse product. That's what I'm talking about. Does replay make basketball or any of these sports a better product? No.
No.
It doesn't.
And then with 0.7 left, well, we got to figure out to get the right 10 out on the floor. Like, guys, just come on. Like, it shouldn't take this long.
It is just, it's insufferable, and it keeps getting worse. And I keep trying to tell you, all these sports would be better off without it. Not that it's going to happen. That cat's out of the bag. That horse has left the barn, and it's here to stay. And I figure it's going to keep getting worse and not go in the other direction. But this is what you get. Paralysis by analysis, circumcising the mosquito, 3-hour basketball games. That ball game took over 3 hours last night. And that's what you're going to get, and it's only going to get worse.
I mean, the thing you said at the beginning, and I've heard other people say it has to be repeated. The final 2 minutes of the game took 33 minutes. 33 minutes to watch the final 2 minutes of a basketball game. That's the most effing stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. It's unbelievable. There was one call in particular that completely sent me over the edge. Booker had the ball on the sideline. He was dribbling. And I think it was Beverly who was guarding him and poked the ball.
Yeah.
And the ball went out of bounds.
Sort of from underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He poked it out of bounds.
Yep.
They called the ball, you know, Phoenix ball. Fine. Makes total sense, right? Again, the guy poked the ball went out of bounds. Except that on the replay, and we've seen this before, the ball grazed the pinky of Booker as it was going out of bounds. So technically, Booker was the last to touch it, even though the spirit of the rule is that Beverly poked it out of bounds.
Right.
They gave the ball to the Clippers. It's just, you know, again, so this is one of those, and they had to review it over and over and over again. In the old days, the guy poked it out, Suns ball.
Not the intention of replay, but this is what we've got. This is a slippery slope of replay. That was not the intention to bring the thing in the first place. It was to correct egregious, obvious calls that affected the outcome of the game. Not to see if it rolled off the guy's last atom on the tip of his fingernail because someone batted it off his hand. That's not what they ever meant to do with it, but that's where we are.
I mean, we've lost the spirit of these calls.
Oh, my God.
We've totally lost them, and now it's just gotten stupid.
Long time ago, pal. Lost that spirit a long time ago. All right, so we just had some Suns thoughts. But the big news, again, is the Celtics reportedly have their new coach. Your reaction to all of it in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I really think this is a great opportunity to throw it directly in to Ayton, where you misdirection Booker and you throw it directly into Ayton for a quick catch and finish as Cousins comes in. To guard the inbound.
Yeah. Crowder will inbound. Cousins waving his arms. Crowder looking, throws it. Alley-oop! Oh! Hey, he puts it down! He puts it down! It's over!
Right, there is no goaltending on an inbound pass. You can catch it above the rim. And remember, this came off of the free timeout that Monty Williams got because of the previous review. Without that review, without the free timeout, there's no way they get this type of quality shot.
And they don't run this type of play. But how about that pass from Crowder? I mean, Ayton, just his athleticism to be able to do that, but Crowder's pass was perfect.
And the screen, I can't emphasize the screen enough. You know how many great players won't screen well? They won't put their body on the line. Booker, with a busted up nose, lays out Zubac with a full body screen. And Batum, who's concerned about Booker popping, no switch, no nothing.
That was the ESPN crew with the call of that Suns game. I know I've said this before. Quick little sports media note. Jeff Van Gundy and that crew is exceptional. I've mentioned this many times. I think the, is it Sid Bream? What's Bream's first name? Mike Bream?
Mike, yeah.
Mike Bream, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson Booth is freaking exceptional. Van Gundy called the play.
Yeah, no, he's good at it.
You heard him there, just call the play.
And he railed about that call on Booker, too, on the ball that went out of bounds.
He's
railed on it.
Not afraid to rag on the refs or the league or the direction of the league or the things that are called or replay. He gets on it, not afraid, and the league doesn't put the governor on him. So good for the league for letting Van Gundy be Van Gundy. But he's on it. He's on the play. He called the play before the play. And then the analysis immediately telling me that there's no goaltending on inbounds, because admit it, you were a little unsure then when you saw the replay. You're like, well, that's in the cylinder.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait, is that goaltending or not? Van Gundy told you immediately on the inbounds, there's no goaltending. You can be in the cylinder or up above the cylinder, etc. He told you immediately. And then, you know, he called out the screen and the fact that the interminable replays and timeouts gave them the time to dial up the play in the first place, because, of course, they got the ball down there on an out-of-bounds that they had to go to the monitor. There's not a ball that goes out-of-bounds underneath the basket in the last 2 minutes where they don't go over the effing monitors. No one can make a call on their own anymore. So, of course, you got a free timeout out of it. I mean, just nailed the call. The ESPN booth is exceptional. Exceptional. And you saw it again there in that spot.
And he's right about that. And maybe it was Mark Jackson who actually said that part, that they have to change that rule. Because the replay allowed the Suns to sort of reset.
So how do you change the rule? What do you mean? You don't go to replay?
You got to do something there where maybe you can't go to the bench.
You got to stay on the floor while they're dinking around,
maybe, because
with their freaking replay. I say the word
Phoenix, and they never showed a great replay of it either, at least not on TV, not the one I saw. Maybe I'm sure the ref saw one that was different, but you shouldn't be able to go to the bench on that.
Look, it's all out of control. Everything takes too long. Again, I feel it on TV last night waiting for these baseball games to end. The Red Sox game was 4:21. I think
that's right.
We wanted to run video of the Scherzer thing. That game was 3:52. This NBA game, an NBA game, not overtime, took over 3 hours. That took over 3 hours to play a non-overtime 48-minute basketball
game. Mike, say it again. The final 2 minutes took 33 minutes.
I mean, is anyone going to put a stop to this? Is anyone going to realize what's happening? I mean, at some point, these leagues are going to correct it, and they're going to figure out you can't do this, and they're going to look back at this era. And we're going to look back at the Felger and Mass Jr., you know, the little whippersnappers that take over from us in 20 years, and look back at this era and say, can you believe they used to play 3 hour basketball games and 4 hour baseball games every single night? They used to take a half hour to play the final couple minutes of a basketball game.
Well, it'll have to reflect in the ratings if they're going to make any changes. I don't know if you've seen this, but they're actually up like close to 40% now that they have these teams at the end.
It's not just that, it's the late basketball games and the long basketball games rate. So they're, it's not going to change. So when I say the next generation is going to look back, no, the next generation may look back and say, remember when they only took 3 hours to play a basketball game?
No, I think you're also forgetting like the car crash aspect of it. Of it becomes like this big trending thing on social media. So even if people weren't watching it, they flip over to go watch it. They're like, oh, people are talking about this. I need to go see it.
Oy vey.
But if every 2 minutes took 33 minutes.
Do the math.
You'd spend a whole day watching a basketball game.
Watch all day sitting around watching refs.
I'm not joking. There's 48 minutes. It's 12 hours.
Looking at guys sitting on the bench with a towel over their shoulder and refs looking at a monitor. That's what the last half hour of that ball game was.
12 hours to watch a basketball game. Oh my God.
Chris in the car, your thoughts.
Replays ruining basketball, plain and simple. That game last night was a joke. Paul George should have never had the opportunity to throw up on himself because that call... It's the only instance in replay of any sport that I can think of where the common sense of the game just goes completely out the window. If that's the first quarter with 6 minutes left, 100 times out of 100, that's a Phoenix Suns ball. It's the only sport where the rule just completely changed, it seems like. It happened in a college basketball game, national championship, Texas Tech, a few years ago, too. It's completely ruining the spirit of the game. Again, what you guys were just saying, too, the Suns should have never had the opportunity to draw up that play either. It's making it insufferable.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't enhance the product. It doesn't enhance the viewing experience. And I would contend it doesn't even end the controversies. I mean, it's supposed to get it right, but more often than not, we're still complaining about the replay decision. So it doesn't even end that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in any sport. It doesn't work. I've been telling you this for years.
I mean, that ball that went off of Booker's fingernail, that's a stupid call. I hate that call.
Frankie in Mansfield on the new coach for the Celtics and their situation. Hi, Frankie.
Yes, I was wondering what you guys' thoughts are on acquiring like Mike Conley. He's a solid scorer, good facilitator, and definitely like a selfless player. So I'd like to hear your thoughts.
So, Frankie, here's what I think. And this, I hear a lot of NBA guys say this. There's a lot of point guards out there.
Yep.
I mean, they just sort of float around, and a lot of them aren't even that expensive, and there's usually guys available. Like, that feels to me, again, not that I'm Mr. Hoop guy, but it feels to me like that's not a position that you should need to draft high, pay a lot of money, extend yourself for, because it feels like there's functional guys always floating around in the league. And if you've got good wings, which is what the league is all about, all you need is someone functional at that spot not to get in the way, and you should be able to have it.
Correct.
And that's what he is. You know, he's in his early 30s. I think he's on his he's going to be a free agent.
He is.
That's a good fit.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be a free agent. So, again, you tell me that the number's right, fine, whatever. Like, my initial reaction was no way because I immediately thought of that contract. But if the number's a lot less than that, sure, why not?
Mike in Sturbridge. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks, Felger. I think you're spot on. ESPN's crew, I mean, the knowledge of that last night was incredible. I think that's the only takeaway, other than they got all the calls right. It's embarrassing. It's taken too long. There's people in the league office. I mean, I'm sure we can quicken this up. The guys watching the actual game in New York could probably – I mean, these refs are on headphones. Who are you talking to? What are we doing? I think the thing on the inbound pass with Zubac, I think he was worried about a goaltending. I want to hear your thoughts on that. I know he jumped like he had lead in his feet, Maz.
Well, but
I'm wondering if he thought he was going to...
There's no goaltending on an inbounds.
Correct.
He told you. So, was it Zubac underneath?
Yeah, I think
it was.
Who's the other big white stiff they had out there?
No, I think it was Zubac.
And then there's another guy. But whatever. So you can bat that away in the cylinder even on defense. There's no goaltending on an inbounds.
Correct.
Offense or defense.
Right, because it's not a shot.
So go in there.
Yeah.
Go bat it out.
Yeah, in the case of Zubac, I think part of the problem is that, again, he's got concrete in the bottom half of his legs. Like, forget it. He just can't get off the ground. So that's why part of the reason they went to it, because they knew he wouldn't be able to get up there. And Aiden would be able to get up there. That was an absurdly easy bucket for that stage of the game.
Thank you.
Absurdly easy. Like, you can't just let the guy, it used, according to the official game log, it used 1/10 of a second. Well, that should tell you plenty.
And the last 8/10 of a second took 24 minutes. It's like, all right, we're going to reset the top story of the day. Breaking news today as it relates to the Celtics. Here is that breaking news with Big Jim Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we get more of your reaction to it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.